Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
For sacrifices and gifts to be offered up to God. So the word altar comes from the Latin altarium, meaning high place. And also to the Latin adolere, which means to ritually burn and sacrifice or sacrifice, which suggests its early purpose as detailed in the Bible. So I want to talk about the high place, and I want to also talk about the low places. Probably right now you're at a stage in your life where you feel like you're at your lowest. There's sometimes maybe a hindrance in your life right now. Maybe God has paused certain aspects of your finances, let's just say for what it is. Maybe he has stopped certain acquaintances, certain connections, or certain networks around you. Now, why is it that God has put certain blocks in your life or in your way? God wants us to grow. He's not going to give everything to you freely. He wants out of you sacrifice. In order for you to get to that high place, you need to surrender all. So there's a need of obedience, and God's calling for obedience from his people. So if you're going to come to God asking and requesting the things from him, you have to be right with God first. It's not like God give me and I shall receive. You know, we've used the word so many times in the pulpit, and preachers and pastors and prophets use the word a lot, ask and you shall have or receive. And honestly, that term has become very, very light. I have to be very careful how I say that, because God is not a genie. And people sometimes get attached to that word. Well, hey, I'm from high priest. I'm a prince. I'm a king. I'm a queen. I don't know if you probably heard that before from people, or sometimes they're posting things on Facebook. I'm a queen of God. I'm not saying that you're not, but that comes along with some other things on it behind. Are you saying that out of the flesh? Are you saying it humbly in the spirit? You know, we have to be careful how we say things sometimes. God wants a humble heart. There's nothing wrong with calling you a queen of God or a prince of God. But sometimes what happens is that we become so entitled that we think we have everything and we deserve everything. And in this nation right now, we have a lot of entitled babies. And I include myself with my generation, millennials. We think that we own everything in this world. If we don't get it, we start nagging and crying for it. It doesn't work that way. In God's kingdom, God wants people who are humble, who are going to search him in spirit and in truth. So I want to start again from the beginning. The altar of mending. And my key verse is Matthew 5, 23, 24. So one needs to come out forth today that needs to be sacrificed at the altar. Are things that need to be tossed into the fire refined? Remember, the fire is not always bad. It is used to clean and wipe away every impurity in our body. This fire also represents God's presence. So when you come to this altar, you have to see it in a place. You're coming to a solid ground, but also a holy place. Figuratively speaking, now, if we get theology into this perspective, the altar is not a place here. God has always used symbols and things. The altar now is in our heart. We make place for the Holy Spirit in this place. But I like to use the altar because God will actually, Jesus himself will use parables so people can understand certain things. So I can imagine God uses a place of altar, a place where we can go and seek after him. And I love that because God is so simple. He makes things that are complicated, uncomplicated, into a place where you can understand them, take them home. So the fire represented here, God's presence, means that it's God is the consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24, you will find that. The Shekinah glory was visible in the fire at the altar of burnt offering. This ongoing presence of God reminded the Israelites that salvation is of the Lord. The atonement made of the burnt offering could only be made through him. The continuously burning divine fire at the altar of burnt offering helped remind the Israelites, and I like to say us right now, it reminds us of the reality of God's presence and of their need for God. The burning fire, how is your fire right now for Christ? Is it still burning? Is there a desire to seek him at the altar? There is a need of an altar in our lives. We need a place to come and meet with God to bring our gifts and prayers to him. I want to read this one more time. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Now, that being said, God is an alterer. You get that? God can alter your perspective and can bring a change in your life if you let him. So as you come to this altar, things are being broken, things are being mended, but he's also altering your state of mind, because this mind needs renewing every single day. So I want to continue on with this. In the verses that preceded these verses, which is 21 and 22, it says that you have heard that it was said to those of old. This is verse 21. You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. And 22 says this, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Why would God say that to us? He wants his children to be obedient. He wants us to live holy lives before him. So if I'm going to come to a place or a hiding place with God, I need to make sure that I'm clean and white as snow before I come to that place, or else I'm going to be burnt. When Moses came to that mountain, that burning fire, the presence of God, he had to take off mostly everything. He had to take off the sandals because he's stepping into a place of holiness. Now, I think the people of God have forgotten what is the place of holiness. We have abused it. We have tainted it. And the thing is that when we have a tainted place, trust me, I'll put it this way. When you go to a dirty bathroom, do you want to touch it? Do you want to sit on it? I don't think so. It stinks so much. And that's the way God sees us sometimes. I'm not going to step into that place of sin. It's so plain. It's so truth. You have to see it that way in God's eyes. You'll never get to see it in the human perspective. Why? Because you're always going to call yourself that you're good. You have to see it in the eyes of God. If he says there's judgment, if he says there's sin, don't step into that place, because I know you're going to be broken and you're going to get burnt in that place. How many times in our lives have we stepped into a place and got burnt? We did the craziest things. We thought that we knew that was the best thing to do. But in return, we got into sin and things just started falling apart again in our lives. Let's be honest. Without God, we're nothing. So the Lord Jesus had been speaking about seriousness of being angry with one's brother. And now he is basically saying that if you have offended your brother, it would be useless to worship God by bringing him a gift. Peter was speaking at this time over here as well. God cannot accept that gift until the offering. Brother goes to the brother he has offended in true humility and seeks to be reconciled to him by offering a sincere apology. If reconciliation occurs, then the gift will be offered with the heart free of offense, and God will surely be pleased, and he will accept it as a true act of worship. It's a true act of worship when you go before him. I don't like to go to a place where I have something against the brother. I've seen and I've heard this countless times where brothers have things against another, and yet they're praising with the lips in the same place. How can you come to a high place? How can you go to the altarium, meaning high, if you can't meet God there? You have to meet him there. He's already there. In order for you to be free from all these things, you have to surrender whatever it is that you have in your heart today. And if I'm speaking to you today, if you have something that's controlling you, yes, we can be oppressed by the enemy. We cannot be demonized, but we can be oppressed by the demons as Christians. I heard a pastor once say that when you have a sin, it's like a scab. The demons are around it, eating and eating as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then another scab, and then another scab. And yes, Christians can be oppressed to that. And you need to be delivered because of that. How can that be? Christians within church be against one another. It's time for deliverance. It's time to be free from the bondage. If God sets you free on that cross on Calvary, you have to believe it today in this time. God is still freeing people. God is still bringing change. And if that change is going to happen, it starts within the church. And it has to be out like a flaming. It has to burn. It has to say to people, look, here I am. God has brought a change in my life. With humility, that's what God is searching today. So how many times in our lives have we come to this point where we thought we were the victim of someone hurting us in church? I think we like to play the sad story and we like to victimize ourselves over and over what that individual did to us. If you come to a place and you're praying for that situation, you leave it here. You don't take it back outside that door. I see a lot of people come up here sometimes praying for certain things and they go back out the same person. How many of us have done that? I'll be the first one to say there's been times where I come to the altar and I feel like, God, I cannot let go of this. I cannot let go of it. Why is it that I have so much hurt right now and I'm going through this situation? What is it that's hindering me right now, God? I don't know what's hindering you right now. I don't know what's pushing you back. But sometimes your ego gets in the way. And that's the flesh and the old man speaking right there. You're a new man in Christ, right? Can I say amen to that again? We are new men in Christ. We're not supposed to live in the old anymore. We're not preaching truth anymore in church. That's why it's so easy to go on in your lives and do what you want to do. And start sinning and going back because, oh, the grace has covered me, so I can do whatever I can. Grace is not supposed to be used that way. Paul explains it that way so well. He's not saying that grace is supposed to be like a piece of candy. You just take it, you sweet, and then the next thing you get another one and then another one. And then you keep using the same thing over and over. God, forgive me for what I did. I remember back in my days when I was young. When I used to do things with my friends, I used to tell them, hey, God forgives. It's okay. And I used to slander that word and abuse that word so much. And I used to tell my friend, how is it that we used to say those things? How is it that I was living a life within church and still saying God forgives and continue doing what we're supposed to do like I was the old man? We tend to do that a lot in church still today. And folks within church are still doing that. Now, I'm not here to point fingers. I'm here to point the truth out with the word of God. And if this word hits you, it's because God wants to bring a change in your life. If you want to be a blessing to your family, to your wife, to anybody that's around your circle, the change needs to come through you. They need to see that Christian light in you. If they don't see that, then change will never come to them. We're supposed to be the salt of this world. We're supposed to be that light that illuminates into their eyes and that can bring the change to your friends. If you're praying to God that, God, please bring a change to their hearts, what he's going to say to you, hey, what are you doing? What are they seeing in you that can bring change to this world? So a simply thought that you were right again and they had to come to ask for forgiveness. In circumstances like this, we might feel like we have the truth in our side. As Christians or anybody in the secular, we always want to have the truth. Like that movie once said, you can't handle the truth. Sometimes we can't. We want to realize that we know we have the truth, but we don't sometimes. And just because we make sense to things and we have logic to things, you can give your whole life and you can go moving that direction all the time, but you're always going to end up nowhere. The truth, which is Jesus Christ, brought you into illumination to what you had to do to change. That was the truth right there. When you met Christ at Calvary, when you met him for the first time at the altar, when you need to make amends and you had to ask forgiveness again. And believe it or not, saying this again, I repeat it again. When we come to this altar, there's things you're still dragging. What is it that you're still dragging into this place? You're not supposed to crucify yourself every single day for the things you've done in the past. If God already bore them on that cross, and he says this, that he took all your sins and he sent them to the deepest oceans. If God did that for you, then why are you still living the same way you're living today? What really stands out to me in how God moves is that he will not accept our gift at the altar until we release and ask for forgiveness. That is only how God will continue to bless your life. It's not that God has stopped the blessings from being, but it is us who has stopped all streams of heavenly blessings coming our way. You hear that? It's not that it's us that we have stopped that because of our obedience. Through the Lord Jesus, though the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Jewish disciples in this passage that we're reading right now, there is a principle here that applies to Christians. We too cannot worship God if we have had a falling out with our brother, whether we are the guilty or the innocent party in the offense. In Matthew 18:15 says this, the Lord Jesus gives his instructions to those in the church today. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Make amends with him. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. What a best way to gain somebody, to go to them. If there's something that has been lost, I don't know how many of you in this place today have lost a brother and a sister because you had something against them. Or sometimes you don't even know what happened and you just go, what did I do to you, brother? Why are we in this place right now? That happens sometimes. So we continue with this. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. In this case, it is the innocent party who was exhorted to take the first step. Now, we usually say, you got to be the bigger person, brother. It's not that you got to be the bigger person. No. In Christ, you're already the bigger person because you're depending in Christ because he's giving you the need and the want, and he's pushing you because he's already instilled in you to love your brother and thy neighbor. So he's exhorting you through that brother. See it that way. He must go to his brother privately and tell him he has been offended. And if the brother's heart is open to hear the matter, he will indeed repent and the two will be reconciled. It's amazing how you can put coals on someone's head. It's biblical. It's biblical. Put burning coals on them. They're mad at you, but you stop them with love. It's easier to say it, but to do it, how many of us are doing that right now? I find out how funny church folks think that they got it going on with God. Just because you might have your best Sunday suit and can wave your hand high, up like you just don't care, everything's going to be just fine. We have to be more inclined to what God thinks about us and not what people think about us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27, we are told, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is speaking here about worshiping the Lord when we partake of the Lord's Supper. How many of us, don't raise your hands, just a rhetorical question, have taken supper having something against the brother? I think we probably had that before. When we come to that sacred supper to worship him, we are bringing our gift of praise. That's what when we do every first of the month. We come to God to forgive us, to reconcile whatever we have gone through. Because we cannot go to God with a negative heart. We need to be open to what God has for us. We are bringing our gift of praise to Him. And Paul is emphasizing that it's possible to partake of the emblems in an unworthy manner. When we think of what we've been considering, can we not say that if we sit down to the Lord's Supper, then we have something against our brother, we will be guilty of that very thing? Our hearts aren't right before the Lord, and thus our gift of praise will not be accepted by Him. So, this is the solution. It's found in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So to examine himself is to judge one's heart, and if there is sin at work in the heart, it must be dealt with. In keeping with our subject, the brother will need to go to his brother and be reconciled. Then his heart and his conscience would be free to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And God will be free to accept his praise. Don't you want God to accept your praise today? I know I do. So how can I sit here today and say God has been good to me and can get along with my family? How can I raise holy hands and sing words and yet have hate for my brother in the same room? We must examine our hearts at all times, brothers and sisters. This flesh we live by can fall and commit things that we sometimes unintentionally do to others. Yes, sometimes we do certain things unintentionally because we have something that we've gone through the life. Things happen. You're not perfect beings, but you're perfect in Christ, and He's perfecting you in His will. So we must examine our hearts at all times. This flesh can fall. We need to come to the altar free of sin before we can bring our gift of praise to God. God deserves the best praise and worship. Thank you, Jesus. I want to continue with this. So, the right formula for life change. The right formula. A better way exists. The correct way. The Apostle Paul outlines in Philippians 2, 13, 14. I'm gonna be closing out right now. So Philippians 2, 13, 14. Paul explains that the Christian life is not a series of ups and downs. Brother, I'm like a yo-yo right now. I'm like a roller coaster. Everything's just going up and down for me today, brother. It is a process of ins and outs. You catch my drift here? So it's not a series of ups and downs, but it's a process of ins and outs. God works in us while we work out. You hit that? So we're working. We're being perfected in His image. But at the same time, there's a process while we work at it. It is a partnership involving God, the individual believer, teachers, and fellow believers. It is a process where God works in and we work out. Teachers work with and believers work together. It can be stated in a sentence, life change begins with God. It's about training, not trying. Requires teaching and is a team effort. There's a saying in the world, and I think they still say that it's not biblical. And in Spanish, they say, deja que te ayude para que te ayudes. Let him help you so he can help you. Or help yourself so he can help you out. They say that. But here, it's not about that. The transformation comes when you let Him work in you. That's the way it works. And then the transformation is going to show outside. So a life changing begins with God. Verse 13, God has a role in the life change process. We partner with God. God is always in and at work in us. For we are His creation created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. God works in us before He can work through us. So what that means, I have to do something, Father? I have to follow what You have given me? Yes. God's not going to give you something you cannot handle at the moment. God works in us before he can work through us. Our English word energy comes from the word translated work in verse 13. It is God's divine energy at work in us and through us. And I finish with this. When we give our life to Christ, our eternal destiny is altered. Like I was saying, the altar of altars. There is a radical reorientation of priorities. There is a new life purpose, and there is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Rather than instant liberation from every bad habit or character flaw we've ever possessed, however, what takes place is more like the landing of an army on a beach and the routing of the enemy as the enemy makes his way inland. At salvation, God establishes a beachhead. Total occupation will come in time as the other parts of the formula are implemented. The change will come. Everything works for the better, for the good of the Lord. So if you find your state that you feel like you're not there yet, you will be there eventually. You're in the process. God is working through you right now. The change will happen. Your prayers that you had maybe years ago are going to come through. But God needs to work with you first. There was times in my life where I felt like God wasn't doing nothing with my life. But God was working with me along those years. Just because you don't see things happen right away, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Eventually, at the other side of the mountain, you're going to see the greener side. You're going to see perspective, and things are going to align for you again. But the only way that things are going to be aligned if you surrender totally to Christ today. If you surrender everything at this altar. That's why it's called the altar of mending. You need to make, again, rights with God. God already made rights with you already. You have to forgive yourself for what you did or whatever happened. You need to come before him today because he already forgave you. Why can't you do it for yourself? I love God so much in his word because he makes it so simple for us. We don't have to struggle anymore in finding the answers for life. The truth is in the Bible. The truth is Jesus Christ. And if you can cling on to Jesus Christ, that's all you need today. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need a guru. You don't need a Buddha to rub his tummy, put a dollar in the coin right there, and you get something free. You don't need none of that. All you need is to come to Christ, and his gift is eternal for everybody who comes to him boldly through those gates, as his word says. Come boldly. I am here. Abba Father is here to embrace you. How many can praise him for that? How many can praise him for that? I want to open this place right now, and I want to encourage everybody right now. If there's something that you have right now against the brother, if there's something that you've been holding, this is the time to start making amends with God. And not just because I'm saying right now, but if the Holy Spirit's making something and shifting something in your place right now, be obedient to that voice. Just because you come up here right now, oh, everybody's going to see me right now because I have something against a brother. No, it's not about that. No, God is not even going to even think about that right now. He's seeing your heart because he's seeing what's in you, and he wants to see that change in you right now. It's not for the brothers right now that are going to be seeing you. It's about you and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And God wants you to come to that place right now. And God wants you to be in that place where he can give you the heavenly blessings again. God is not dead. He's still alive. And you have to live like he's alive every day. So I want to encourage everybody in this place right now. I think there's a time and a need right now for this generation. They need to know what forgiveness is. And things are going to get worse. Yes, things are not going to get better. We might preach about, oh, things are going to get better, God. You're going to make a way. Yes, God will make a way. But also, prophecy has foretold us that this world is not going to change anymore if they don't have Christ in their heart. And the only way they're going to get to know Christ is through us. So let's be that change today. We need to come to this altar right now. If God's going to use you entirely, you need to let go of your past. Stop playing the fake Christian. Start living right before Him. Stop coming to church just to sing some songs, or just coming in just to hear the word, or just to come in just to hear the praise and worship. You coming to Christ because you want to be obedient. You want to serve Him with your heart. You want to be right before Him. So when He comes, you can say, God, I was here. I worshiped You. Not because somebody told me to do it, because I love You so much. I want to see that. I want to see a generation that loves God again. I want to see a revolution again. Back like in the hippie days in the 60s and 70s where it was all about love. Well, it can be all about love again. But it starts with us. And I encourage you today. And I want to invite everybody right now, if you can do that. Let's all step up to this altar right now. Let's start praying right now. Let's give a moment to praise God and give Him thanks. And start coming to this place right now of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we come up here, start praying. Feel free in the spirit right now. Let's make this place of worship, and let's make a place of an altar of sacrifice right now, sacrificing what you're going through in your flesh. Thank you, Jesus. How about we do this right now? I'm going to pray for our church. I want to pray that God brings a shift, brings a change in our hearts today, and that we might be able to be free from whatever bondage or whatever situation that you might be going through. I'm going to pray for you today. But at the same time, as I finish praying, I want you to deny yourself for a moment. Don't pray for yourself now. Pray for those. Pray for those souls. Pray for this nation. They need it right now the most. I don't think God wants to come with a wife and nobody's there. He wants to take everybody. But I know that a lot of people are not going to go to that place, because it is written too. So let me pray for you. And as I finish praying for you, at the same time, be praying in the spirit. We're all praying in one voice and start praying for this nation. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just pray right now, God, that You start shifting, Father. Bring a shift in this house, God. I pray for these souls right now, God. I pray for a change, Father. I pray whatever it is that they have in their hearts today, God, that they may be able to offer it to You right now, God. If they've been praying, God, for them to be a better worshiper, to be a better husband, a better wife, a better brother, sister, God, let it be so today, God. They may come right now before You right now and mend, Father. To mend things, to make things right again, to align things. Things that were crooked are going to be aligned today, God. Amen. Thank You, Spirit. I feel that right now. Things are going to be aligned right now. Because there's some crooked things probably in this place right now that we've probably done. And God wants to align those things today. Thank You, Jesus. I pray for this church, Father. I pray for the lives, God. I want You to use these people mightily, Father, for Your glory. They have things in their hearts probably that they've been wanting and desires to worship You, to probably lead a generation, Father, that needs You, to preach, to sing, Father, to go out and preach the word, but they don't know how to do it, Father. Give them the tools, God. Give them the word, Father. Give them inspiration, Father. Give them revelation, Father. Let them see that You love them, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Be with them, Father. Be with them. Encourage them, Holy Spirit, that You're there with them. They're not alone. They're not alone, God. Be with them, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. We can all pray right now. Go ahead. Just start praying in the Holy Spirit right now. God, we pray right now for this nation, God, that needs You, Lord. We pray for them. They need you right now, God. Give us the power, Father, to overcome fear. The power, Father, to overcome every obstacle that the enemy wants to put in our path, Father. But we believe in you, Father, because you give them victory, Father, on that cross. And there's no fear, God. There should be no fear in this place right now. We're going to come boldly, Father, with word, Father, because you're right behind us, God, pushing us, Father, to do your will, God. We pray for this nation, God. They need you, Father. We cry out to you right now, God. We cry out to you because you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Father. We're going to praise you, God. There's going to be a mighty move in this place, Father. We are in the short number here, but that doesn't matter right now, Father, because what matters is that we're here where there's two or three, Father. You are going to move right now, Father. Holy Spirit, move in this place right now, God. Bring a breaking, Father, right now. Bring a change, Father. Bring a shift. Bring a shift, Father. Let these people come to you, God. Let them seek you. Say they can be that light to this generation, Father. This generation needs you, Father. Things aren't going to get even better, Father. They're going to get worse. But we need to be ready, Father, so we can preach your word, God. We're going to preach your word, God. We need to be ready, God. Prepare us, Father. Prepare us, Father. Use us, God. Use us. We're here right now, God. There's this remnant right here, God, that wants to do things, God. They want to do great things, Father. Yes, Jesus. Make a way, Father. Make a way, God. We believe, Father. We believe that you're going to do something mighty in this house, Father. People in this place are going to do great things for your glory, Father. Great things are going to happen in this place, God. I believe it, Father. We declare that you are going to do great things in this place. We believe it, Father. Because your word said so, that we are going to do greater things in your name. So I declare that because your Bible says that so, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation, Father. That we get to see beyond our own human eyes, but we get to see with the spiritual eyes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look unto you, God. Just to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. God, as we close out this night, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for always being such a loving Father. A forgiving Father that forgives us first before you even forgive anybody, God. But I pray that this word brings somebody, Father, in a place where they can go to their brother, God, and forgive them. You're a God that mends things always, God. Bring the change. Yes, Jesus. Bring the shift. Bring the shift in our hearts today. We're here right now, God. We praise your name, God, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.